Last week we learned that the Apostle John recorded seven I am statements. Seven of them from Jesus in his gospel writings. We learned that these I am statements tell us exactly who Jesus is and how any person who has ever lived since that time can find him and accept him as their Lord and Savior. As Romans 1:20 states, man is without excuse. And I can't say this for every church in America, but I can say this for the church that God's led me to pastor. If you do not accept Jesus as your personal Savior, if you can come week in and week, if you can just come one time and not accept Jesus as your personal Savior, listen, you don't have an excuse. Because listen, you hear Jesus here. If not for me, you see it and feel it from the love of this congregation. Amen? But they're going to be without excuse. We learn once again that Jesus has and continues to do his part, and we must continue to do ours. Jesus made knowing him and accepting him so easy that a child can do it. Yet there are still millions who have not and will not accept our Jesus. Church, last week you heard the truth about who Jesus is. My question to you now is this: what are you going to do with that truth? What are you going to do with that truth? Because we can look around our world, we can look around our city, we can look around our states, we can look around our inner circles, we can look around where we work. You can look at our homes today. And you need to ask that question: what are we going to do with Jesus? We know the truth. Now what are we going to do with the truth? Do you realize if we were doing with the truth what we should be doing with the truth, things should be a whole lot different. Things ought not bother us nearly as much as they bother us if we would follow the truth. Because the truth will what? Set you free. You're not bound. You're not in chains. You're not in darkness. There's not a continuous cycle of where's my joy? Where's my joy? Your joy is with you eternally always. Amen? The truth will set you free. So this morning, we're going to look at a bit of truth. We're going to find a person who was actually seeking this Jesus to know the truth. And he made a decision. Let's look at Luke chapter 18. We're going to start reading in verse 18. Luke 18 and verse 18. A ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, that should be a question that all of us who are sitting here, if we haven't asked it, we need to be asking it. And listen, after we have sought and we've asked that question, we need to live as if we have gotten the answer. Amen? We don't need to live in darkness anymore. Jesus replied in verse 19, he says, "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked him. "No one is good but one, God. You know the commandments? Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother." This is what a good Jew did. This is what a good person did. Hell is full of people who think they were good enough to get into heaven, but they weren't. I'm good enough. I'm better than so-and-so. And this is what Jesus is asking him. "Do you know these commandments?" And the young ruler says this: "I have kept all of these from my youth," he said. Just like those people you witness to and they say, I'm a good person. I'm a really good person. Verse 22, when Jesus heard this, he told him, "You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." After he heard this, he became extremely sad because he was very rich. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning asking you to settle us during this time of the message. Help us, Lord, to be about you. Help us, Lord, to open our eyes and our ears and our hearts and hear a word from you. God, this is a very simple message, very short message, but it's a powerful message that Christian and lost need to hear alike, Lord. Help us to feel your presence and know you're here. In Jesus' name I do pray, and all God's children said, amen. This morning as we look at this scripture, we see a person, a man, who is seeking. he has found, and then he refuses. He has sought, he has found, and he's refused. It's almost like the Christian. We want to know the truth, we have the truth, and we don't accept the truth. Do you hear me? We seek the truth. We want to know who Jesus is, how he can really change our lives. We have a copy of the truth. Some of y'all have multiple copies of the truth, and you see the truth, but you don't want to accept the truth. And it affects your life in every way. Listen to what Warren Wiersbe says about this young man. He says, the rich young ruler may be the only man in the Gospels who came to the feet of Jesus and went away in worse condition than when he came. And yet, he had so much in his favor. He was immoral and religious. He was earnest and sincere, and probably would have qualified for the membership of the average church. Yet he refused to follow Jesus Christ and instead went on his way in great sorrow. What was wrong with him? And in one word, dishonesty. In spite of the fact that he came to the right person, asked the right question, and received the right answer, he made the wrong decision. How? Why? Because he was not honest with God or himself. Therefore, he would not do what he was commanded to do. He was a superficial young man who said one thing and yet did another. Listen to the end of what Wiersbe says here again. Listen, he says, he was a superficial young man who said one thing and did another. Now, church, I want to continue with you this morning that is the condition of just about every church in America today. That is the condition of every neighborhood, every city, every state. You say one thing and you do another. Can I tell you, listen, that's why our homes are in such disarray. Because we come here on Sunday morning and we sing Kumbaya and we come down with tears in our eyes and we pray and we seek God. But we walk out those doors and we live a totally different way. God does not keep us in blindfolds. He wants us to be in His will, in His way all day long. But we walk out these doors and we're totally walking in a different way, walking in a different light. We act as if we don't know the truth. We've never known the truth. We've never sought the truth. But when we're in the truth, in the light, and in the way, there's no other way to be. Amen? Is it perfect? No, it's as perfect as it's going to get here on earth. It's only going to be perfect when we're in the presence of the light and the way. Church, what can we know about this young ruler? Because there's a great lesson here for each and every one of us this morning. Well, what can we know about this ruler? Well, the first thing we know is this. There's a sad truth, and it's very sad. We don't know this man's name. We don't have a clue who he was. He is forever known as a nameless and faceless man who came so close to eternal life and yet in the end died and went to hell because of a wrong decision, unless he came to his senses at a later time. He is forever written in the annals of scriptural history as a failure to God and to himself. Now let me ask you something, church. As you are sitting still right here this morning, how is your spiritual life? How is it going to be recorded in the records of history? How is it looking this morning? The first decision you make for Jesus will always be the most important one. Will you accept Jesus as your personal Savior? You cannot live for Jesus if you have never accepted Him as your Lord. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I believe there's thousands, maybe millions of people who are living for Jesus, but they've never accepted Him. They never have. As Wiersbe said just a few minutes ago, I believe that this man probably could have gained membership in most churches in America because of his credentials. But the thing is, he had an outward look, but inwardly he was not saved. He was not. He knew the answers, but he was not saved. Now, what does that have to do with people in the world? Thousands, maybe millions. There are people right now who are in churches all over America, all over the world, really. They're going to church because they were raised in church. They always went to church. Going to church was the right thing to do. Ricky, I mean, all good people go to church, right? So they're in church all over the world. They've accepted a brand of religion. Well, and they'll claim it. I've asked many people when I've gone out on visitation or gone out and I've witnessed people, I'll ask them, have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And what's sickening to me is the first thing that comes out of their mouth is, yes, I'm a Methodist. Or yes, I'm an Episcopalian. Or yes, I'm a Church of God. Or yes, I'm a Southern Baptist. That's not the question I asked you. Being a part of a religious denomination is not going to get you into heaven. As a matter of fact, it's going to mask your eyes to make you think you're going to heaven, and it's going to help you to bust hell wide open. Religious affiliation does nothing. When somebody comes down here and says, Brother Kyle, I want to join Chevis Oaks Baptist Church and become a member of this church, I don't just blindly say, okay, I'll present you to the church and let the church vote. Mm-mm. I ask two questions. The two questions are this. Has there been a point in time in your life where you have seen yourself lost, in need of a Savior? Ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, and you have accepted Him as your personal Savior. If they say yes, I ask the next question. If they say no, we deal with that first question until we can move forward. But if they say, yes, I've accepted Jesus as my personal Savior, the next question is this: have you been baptized? And what that means, baptism does not save you. It doesn't. Baptism, you are identifying that you are saved. It's an outward expression of what should have taken place in your heart inwardly. There are people, I listen to, there's people who've been under the water of baptism that are still going to hell. They went down a dry center and came up a wet one. They were just as lost when they went in the water as they came up out of the water. Baptism doesn't save you. Church membership doesn't save you. Accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior does save you. And I want you to help you understand something. Scripture says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Now, when I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, it wasn't just this, you know, like Disney, Walt, you know, somebody touched me with a wand, and boy, everything was just, no. No. There were things in my life that I God had to deal with. And he had to remove, he had to take away. And it wasn't an instantaneous process. But I tell you this, when I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior, he took things out of my life that didn't need to be there. And gradually, he's done it all throughout my life, progressively. Amen? I am being sanctified daily. I'm not perfect. Vicky thinks she's perfect. Vicky, you're not perfect. You're being sanctified daily. Every single day. All of us, every single day. None of us are perfect. But we live and act like we are. Well, if so-and-so, if you were just as good as I am, good gracious, Lord have mercy. You need to go baptize yourself down there in Ogeechee River. It ain't going to do any good, but maybe it'll help you. Listen, we're nothing without Jesus. We can't move past first base without Jesus. Life is worthless without Jesus. And I believe there's so many people walking around this earth that think they have Jesus. They have knowledge of Him, but they've never accepted Him. There's never been any change in their life, Butch. They're still the same. That's the case of this man. Well, what can we know about this rich young ruler? What does Scripture tell us this morning? Scripture tells us that this man was a moral and religious man. He was moral and he was religious, and yet he still did not accept Jesus. He evidently had the right upbringing. He knew what he needed to do. As a matter of fact, he left wherever he was, and he came to Jesus wherever Jesus was, and he did this for a reason. Miss Desi, he knew that what he was doing wasn't going to be good enough. He needed to know the right and the righteous answer. So he sought him out. He was a moral person, and he was a religious person. He had just enough religion to get himself in trouble. I'm afraid that's happening to a lot of Christians. You know just enough about Scripture to get yourself in trouble. Just enough of the little bit of the answers to get you to first base. But you've never rounded first. Now, there are a lot of good people who are in hell. There are a lot of good people in hell. I've talked to them many times. And I've asked them the question that I asked you a few minutes ago. Have there ever been a time when you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior? Well, I am a good person. That has nothing to do with it. That has absolutely nothing to do with it. Do you realize that Jesus died for good people and bad people? He died for people who had, you know, they don't think they sin. And they live phenomenal lives. I mean, Mother Teresa needed Jesus. That woman, her life was a bed of doing for others every single day. In the trenches every single day. And she needed Jesus. But there's something else about this man. This man was earnest and sincere. And yet he still did not accept Jesus. What this means is he was earnest and sincere. Is he sought out, he wanted and sought out the truth. He wanted to know the truth. He didn't want to know somebody's opinion. He didn't want to know somebody's stance. He didn't want to know somebody's thoughts. He wanted to know the truth. And I hope that's why all of you came to accept Jesus Christ as well. One of the greatest barriers, and you've heard me say this before, one of the greatest barriers of all time for the lost to find Jesus is religion. It really is. Because what I did before I was saved is I said, who's right, who's wrong? Are the Methodists right? Are the Pentecostals right? Are the Catholics right? Are the Mormons right? Are the Jehovah's Witnesses right? Who's right, who's wrong? Because everybody, you know, proclaims this is right and this is wrong. Can I tell you that I don't care who you are, if you don't point back to the Bible and say the Bible's right, you're wrong. You don't have to do anything other than accept Jesus as your personal Savior. If you've got a denomination tell you, oh, no, listen, you have to do this, and you have to do that, and you have to do it, and you have to dress this way. Listen, you need to walk out that door as fast as you walked in. Only thing you have to do to have eternal life is accept Jesus. That and plus nothing, and you're saved. Now, I promise you this. If you will accept Christ as your personal Savior, He'll change your life. Brother Kyle, how do you know that? Because He changed my life. I was a liar, a cheat, a thief, a drunk. Listen, I was a whoremonger. I would just destroy you and sleep like a baby at night. It didn't bother me a bit. But when Jesus came into my heart, He changed my life. I didn't want to be that way anymore. But we can see something else about this man that's kind of disturbing. This man was a man, this man came to the right person, and yet he still did not accept Jesus as a personal Savior. Have y'all ever had a question like at work? I remember when I worked in the secular world, something would go wrong with my machine, and the person that I would always ask the question to was the person who ran the machine before me. There was once you had that machine dialed in, it would run like a top, like a clock. I mean, it would run phenomenally. But if there was just something off, your day was shot, and you were down most of the day. You were beating pipe out of molds, and it would kill you. Now, this was the most frustrating part for me when I was a machine operator at the foundry. They would come to my machine and they would say, you've got two molds coming in that are brand new. You need to get them conditioned and be careful with them. Now, you're talking about one mold is like $20,000. And I ran two at a time. So I've got two brand new molds that are $40,000. And they're stainless steel. So they come in and they're packed in grease. So you have to take the grease out, clean them perfectly, heat them up, and hope you don't warp them, because that did happen one time. You've got to clean all the grease out. You've got to spray it, scrub it out, spray it again, scrub it out, spray it again, line it, and hope and pray to God that it's cool all the way down the way it needs to be cool. Or when you pour iron down it the first time and that iron hits the wrong way and it sticks and you just destroyed a $40,000 mold. I don't know if y'all have ever had that, you know, kind of responsibility, but you kind of get in trouble when you do that. You really do. So what you need to do is to know exactly what is taking place. Everything that you need to know. Listen, this man knew who to ask the right questions to, just as I did. Anytime something went wrong with the machine, I went to Mark Benton. I said, Mark, listen, the machine's doing this. And he said, well, Kyle, and he was one of those. I mean, he was very slow and talk. He said, I'll come by during break and listen to the machine, see if I can tell you what's going on. I wasn't going to ask. I'm not going to go down to, you know, to the gun drill room and say, hey, listen, my machine's doing. They don't, James, they don't know. They've never run that machine. They don't know what's going on. But this morning we see the rich young ruler. He went to the person who could answer his question. He went to the right person. And yet he still did not accept Jesus as his personal Savior. How is that possible? How can you go to the person who knows all the answers and not accept his answers as the truth? Can you ask that question the day that we live in? You can. Jesus has been in heaven for 2,000 years, but he's still alive. He's still around. He's still displaying himself every single day. The truth is still being revealed. But there's something else. This man received the right answer. He went to the right person, Butch, for the question, but he received the right answer. It wasn't a wrong answer. And Brother Frank, yet he still did not accept Jesus as his personal Savior. How in the world can you have the right answer, Cynthia, and not accept Jesus? But he did. He did. Listen to what Wiersbe says about this young man. The young man thought that eternal life came to those who did something. The young man thought that eternal life came to those who did something, which was typical Jewish conviction. But when Jesus gave him something to do, he refused to obey. He wanted a salvation on his own terms, not God's. So he turned and went away in great sorrow. Jesus, I know that you can tell me the truth. Tell me the truth. Jesus told him the truth. I don't believe that's the truth. And he turned around in great sorrow. Jesus gave him something to do, Bill. He wanted something to do. He said, go and sell all your possessions. That'll make you feel good. And after you sell all your possessions, because you're a good boy and you follow those commands all of your life, you come and follow me. I can't do that. How many people have come that close to salvation and turned around and walked away? How many? Listen, I believe that somebody's getting ready to do it here again in a second. I really do. God wouldn't have put that message on my heart this morning to preach unless somebody in this congregation needed to hear it. You have heard about Jesus time and time again. You know that he is the truth. Listen, you know that he is the light, the truth, the bread, the way, the gate. He is everything. You know all this information about Jesus, but you want to go to heaven on your terms. Listen to me. Those are the terms. Jesus is the only way. Church, there's only one set of terms that are ever going to get you anywhere other than hell and in deep trouble. These are God's terms. You cannot barter or scheme with God. It is either his way or no way at all. Do you know that if you do not choose his way, you will never see heaven? You will never be content here on this earth. You might have stretches of happiness, but you will never, ever experience real and true and everlasting joy. God has a plan for your life. From day to day, you were born to the day you die. He has every detail planned out for you for you from your first birthday. Let to the day that, of your salvation, to the day of your marriage, when you lose your teeth and your hair, he has those days planned. God has a plan and a purpose, and his word is to guide, that is a guide that never fails. You must be like the rich young ruler and seek him. Choose him. Choose to follow Jesus or walk away in great sorrow because you don't think God's way is the right way. There's only two ways. God's way or your way. Billy Graham said that he believes that 80% of all Christians who call themselves Christians are lost. 80%. Brother Kyle, do you think that's true? I don't know. I just thank God that I don't have to give answer for the 80%. I have to give answer for me. If Jesus were to come today to gather his church, are you sure you'd be going with him? Let's all stand, head bowed and eyes closed. Nobody looking around. Father, we come to you asking forgiveness of our sins. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to seek our hearts right now. Help us to go to the deepest recesses of our hearts to make sure that, Jesus, you're there. Lord, are our actions, actions of you? Do we love everybody the way that you love us? God, how can we love you? Say that we love you. Somebody we've never seen, but have animosity and hurt and hatred in our heart for somebody that's right in front of us every day. God, are we loving like you? Are we treating others like you? Are we serving people the way you've served us? Lord, if there's somebody here who's never accepted you as their personal Savior today, Lord, I pray that today will be their day of salvation. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would give them the unction to walk down this aisle and hear the truth about who you are. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come? The altar's open for you. Will you come? Will you come and accept Jesus this morning?